What if, with a single verse, in fact, even with the first verse of the book of Revelation, I can show you something that will completely change your perspective on the book of Revelation, even changing how you approach it going forward? This is Revelation chapter 1, lesson 1. Turn with me in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 1. We'll be reading verses 1 through 3. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, King James Version. Bible versions make a difference. Have you ever noticed when the topic of the book of Revelation is brought up, preachers, teachers, and small group leaders always introduce the book with some kind of dismissive or cautionary claims? They say things like, yeah, Revelation, it's very symbolic, or it's full of symbols and images, and it means a lot of different things to different people. Or they say, Revelation really isn't meant for us to understand because it's symbolic in nature. It is discussing symbolic ideas. And there is this type of apology that everyone seems to make regarding the book of Revelation. Kind of like when that certain relative shows up at the party. You didn't think they were coming, but somehow they just showed up, and you're trying to gracefully prepare your guests to weather some bizarre behavior. Most people don't know what to do with the book of Revelation because they don't know how to navigate the book, and specifically they don't know how to navigate its symbolic language. But the first verse of the book of Revelation makes four key points. And the first point is that the book of Revelation is a direct message from Jesus Christ and from the Father. The New International Version of the Bible states the following: the revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. Revelation 1:1, NIV. It is a direct message from Jesus Christ. That means it is a direct message from Jesus Christ to you. If it is a direct message from Jesus to his church, why have we been so avoidant of this book? Consider verse 3 of Revelation. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Revelation 1 verse 3, NIV. John is using ecclesiastical instruction language. He is directly indicating that this book is meant to be read aloud in the church, openly, before the congregation. Why? Because it is a direct message from Jesus. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. I haven't unpacked the mystery in verse 1, and we will get there. Still, it is worth noting that from the early church until today, many churches have avoided this book, and many pastors rarely teach from it. In several regions and in several traditions, it was excluded from public readings altogether because it was regarded as a controversial book. Many religious leaders have cast doubt on the book and questioned its legitimacy or, at minimum, its role in church readings. So here's the situation. This is the mirror moment. We read about Jesus' parable ministry in the Gospels, and we often assume that we would have been among those who understood the ministry of Jesus. And we look down on those who couldn't understand him, those who refused to engage his parables. But now Jesus gives a parable to his own church, and what do we do with it? Largely, systematically, principally, we have ignored it for centuries and relegated it to be a strange and uncertain text. It is catalogued as being divisive, controversial, and only for the upper echelon of the church. But what if the problem isn't with the book of Revelation? What if there is a problem with our eyes and our ears? Because when Jesus would teach a parable, he would often say, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." He said this in Matthew 11:15, before he taught the parable of the playing children. In Matthew 13, verse 9, after teaching about the parable of the sower. In Matthew 13:43, after teaching about the parable of the weeds. In Mark 4:23, the parable of the lampstand. Luke 14:34, the parable of salt. In fact, this exact phrase was repeated in the Gospels seven times. Seven times Jesus said in the Gospels, "Whoever has ears, let them hear." Now let me ask you a question. Do you know how many times Jesus states this same phrase in the book of Revelation? He states it seven times. Church, listen, Jesus states it again exactly seven times. To the church in Ephesus, "Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches." To the one who is victorious, I'll give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. That's Revelation 2:7. To the church of Smyrna, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. The one who is victorious will not be hurt at all by the second death. Revelation 2:11. To the church in Pergamum, to the church in Thyatira, to the church in Sardis, to the church in Philadelphia, to the church in Laodicea, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, isn't that a coincidence? Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is recorded as saying the same phrase to those who sat under his symbolic teaching ministry, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And now again, Jesus in his symbolic teaching ministry to his own church states, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Wake up, church. Jesus is identifying what kind of message the book of Revelation is. He is identifying it as his teaching ministry to the church. In the same way Jesus spoke parables to the masses, he now speaks this grand parable to the church. So the question is, will you press in? Will you hear? Or will you become like the many who heard Jesus' parables and dismissed them as the ramblings of a madman? Could it be that our response to the book of Revelation, Jesus' parable message to his church, demonstrates those who want to press into the parable, the symbolism, and discover its message are truly those who have ears to hear? But those who dismiss the book and disregard it because it doesn't make sense to their intellect demonstrate they are not operating by the Spirit of God, but rather the intellect of men. When Jesus states, if anyone has ears to hear, then let them hear, Jesus is not talking about physical ears, but he is talking about spiritual ears, the earnest intent of the heart to hear the things of God. But consider Jesus' words more carefully. He states, if anyone has ears to hear, then let them hear. This is an authoritative declaration. Jesus is stating that those who desire to hear from a proper intent of the heart should be given the power to hear. When he states, let them hear, Jesus is making a decree, because to hear the voice of God is a spiritual matter. It isn't about intellectual capacity, knowledge, or intelligence. It is about being positioned in humility and in earnest before a holy God. If you have been given the power to hear the things of God, then you will hear God's voice in the book of Revelation, and you will feel the intensity of his heart in the book of Revelation. It is, after all, Jesus' direct message to his servants. And that, my friends, is the second key point. This message is for the servants of Jesus. Now, there may be a mystery in that, but that is not the mystery I want to discuss with you. Nevertheless, you must understand, the servants of Jesus are those who hear the word of God and obey it. The servants of Jesus are those who center their lives on serving him, walking with him, and keeping in step with him, and following him to the low places. It is the servants of Jesus who will be first to benefit from the hearing of the prophecy of this book. If it is your heart's desire to serve God and to be purposed in his kingdom work, then your heart will be rent by a God who agonizes over the salvation of his people, who warns the apathetic, who pleads with the indifferent, who seeks to wake the sleeping and encourages the weak, because the kingdom of Christ is coming soon. It is coming quickly, and it is coming without delay, and it is a weighty matter, both for man and for God. Let's take a moment and have a deeper look at verse 1 in the book of Revelation, because I still need to show you a mystery. I'm going to read from 5 modern translations. Listen carefully and see if you can hear a striking difference in translation. The New International Version reads as follows. The revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. The Christian Standard Bible reads, the revelation of Jesus Christ that God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. The New Living Translation reads, this is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John. The New Revised Standard Version reads, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants what must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John. And lastly, the King James Version of the Bible reads as follows, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. Did you hear the difference in the last version we read? The King James Version is the only version of the Bible that mentions that Jesus Christ took a straightforward message and then signified it through an angel before giving it to John. That is not a small detail. That detail shifts the entire narrative. This means the revelation of Jesus Christ is not in its original format. It has been codified, reformatted to have its message obscured through a symbolic language. Yes, we already knew the book of Revelation is symbolic in nature, but if it was reformatted into a symbolic language, then that means the symbolic imagery was not the original message. Rather, it becomes a representation of the original message, which means there is an explicit and direct message behind the symbolism. This means the message of Revelation is not symbolic, rather it was communicated through a symbolic codex. So I repeat, the symbolism is not the message. It is a codex used to hide or obscure the message. When Jesus was traveling through the Judean countryside, teaching his disciples and those who would gather around him, he would teach using parables. He didn't directly teach the principles of the kingdom of God. Rather, he indirectly taught them using symbolic narratives the people of his day could relate with and understand. The symbolism he utilized was universal in its ability to connect with wide audiences. Jesus encoded messages all the time during his earthly ministry. He would speak in parables so that only those who had ears to hear would hear the revelation of his teaching. Jesus talked about planting seeds, managing vineyards, traveling, family matters, servants and masters, managing debts, and other common day-to-day life matters. The language he used was universal in its nature, even applying to daily life some 2,000 years later. Why did Jesus do this? Because the message of the kingdom of God attracts violence. So Jesus taught his disciples, "Do not throw your pearls before swine, lest they trample your pearls and turn and attack you." Jesus spoke in parables so that the message would reach those who had ears to hear and pass by everyone else. Now, instead of using his common parable codex of everyday life imagery, Jesus takes his symbolic teaching to the next level, providing us with a lengthy letter packed with symbolic, covenantal, and prophetic symbols and language. It was God's will to encode the message of Revelation so that the message would again only reach those who have ears to hear. Having ears to hear doesn't mean you're going to understand the message immediately. It means when you hear it, you will receive it as it really is, the Word of God, and you will value it and store it in your heart and begin to ponder it. When God sees a believer hide his Word in their hearts, it is like a seed. At first, there isn't much to see. A seed is only noticed by those looking for it. But that seed takes root and it begins to grow and it becomes a great structure in the heart and soul of the believer. In Daniel 7:28, King James Version, we read of Daniel's response to receiving a revelation similar to that of John's. "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Daniel 7:28, King James Version. When Mary gave birth to the Christ child and the shepherds came and gave great testimony of the angelic host, we read, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Luke 2:19, King James Version. Mysteries are not always immediately understood, but some keep the mysteries in their heart and let them take root. They let them grow, and the fruit of those mysteries is like a tree that produces fruit in its seasons. Even so, as it was with Daniel, so also John, when he received the revelation, he asked questions because he wasn't understanding everything he was witnessing. Revelation 17 verse 6, King James Version says, for example, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." Every other Bible version states the angel made the revelation known to John in chapter 1 verse 1. But the angel gave an encoded version of the revelation to John. Now when a message has been encoded, then to understand it, it needs to be decoded. This is why John was marveling at the revelation, because the message held wonder for him. We often read the book of Revelation as though John himself authored it, or even understood it, whereas he admits in different places he isn't grasping all of it, even though he feels the weight of it. To decode a message, you must understand who encoded it and with what standard it was encoded. If you don't know those two things, it is very difficult to decode a message. Now let's ask an obvious question. If Jesus encodes the message, how did he do it? Let's read verse 1 again. "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John." The scripture states that Jesus sent and signified the message by his angel. Jesus himself didn't signify the message. His angel signified the message. Jesus sent the message to his angel, and his angel signified the message, and then communicated that signified version of the message to John. Why did Jesus have the angel signify the message? Come on, church. Why did Jesus have the angel signify the message? Did you know that God has called you to judge the angels? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3, we read, "Know ye not, we shall judge angels. How much more things that pertain to this life?" Why did Jesus have his angel signify the message? Because Jesus is calling you to take your position. He has called you higher than the angels. Consider Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6, "And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." And consider Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 to 2, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." The scripture states that we are positioned with Christ, seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now, is Jesus positioned below the angels or above them? Of course, he is not positioned below, but above. Now that Jesus is risen to the right hand of God, he is set over all the works of God, and you are seated together with Christ in heavenly places. Now, I need you to understand this principle. Had the glorified Jesus signified the message, the only one who could have figured it out would be the Father, because only the Father is greater than the Son. If Jesus had signified the message, we wouldn't have the power to decode it, because though we are seated with Christ, it is by grace he remains greater than us. But Jesus didn't signify the message, he had his angel signify it. And if, as a believer, you have taken your position in Christ, then you operate with a higher position than the angels. Therefore, if Jesus signified a message by his angel and sent that message to his church, then it becomes an invitation for the believer to rise in Christ and take their heavenly positions. And because of your position in Christ, not because of your intellect, you have the power to understand the message. If you are going to judge the angels, how much more the things of this life? But there is a process to it. You need the power to hear it, just like you need the power to become a son of God. John 1:12 reads, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So what is this message to you? Is it mad speech, crazy symbols? Well, that means you haven't received the message. But if it is to you the precious and holy word of God, then you have received it. And when you have received it, then power comes to hear it. Even as Jesus states, "Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Throughout the New Testament, and especially the book of Acts, which chronicles the early adventures of the apostles, we see God speaking directly with his apostles by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit speaks, the messages are clear and unquestionable. But now, instead of speaking directly to his servant John, Jesus transmits a prophetic message through his angel, having his angels signify that message, which is to say the angel encodes the message through a symbolic language. In another way of speaking, you could say the message has been encrypted, and only those with the encryption key will be able to understand the message. Now, I want to reiterate again that the King James Version of the Bible is the only Bible that includes this detail. Other common interpretations and translations of the Bible into English miss this detail and instead claim that the angel made the vision known unto John. But the truth is, John had the same level of homework as the rest of us, because he too would have needed to decode the message. The reason this is important to clarify is because today many people read the book of Revelation as though it is not a signified message or an encoded message. They don't understand that Jesus had his angel encode the message, because Jesus is calling his church to take their positions in him. Brethren, even the young can see the day of the Lord approaching with speed. It is time to take our positions. It is time to hear Christ, to accept his challenge, to honor his message, and to let the mysteries of God germinate in the inner man. Where God has called you to, you can understand the mysteries of the angels. For even in the early days, the word of God was spoken through angels, signifying the destiny of God's children.